The shooting deaths of two men walking home late one October night rocked the popular Roosevelt Road district last year. 41-year-old David Besant and 24-year-old Zachary Walter were fixtures in the community, admired artists and beloved members of the team at Joe Bot Coffee and Bar, where they'd been working the night they were killed. And this month, nearly a year later, two teenagers were arrested for the murders. They were 15 and 14 years old when they allegedly killed the two men, and now they're being charged as adults. For some people, including our next guest, the case raises a core societal question. What does justice look like when minors commit serious crimes? Rick Miller is the founder of Kids at Hope, a program that aims to change the conversation around troubled kids. Now, Rick, your organization is built on an idea that seems to be fundamentally at odds with the concept of treating juvenile offenders as adults. You say that every kid is capable of success, but how do we reconcile that with situations like this, when a juvenile has gone so far as to take someone's life?
There may not be the aspirational statement that all kids are capable of success, no exceptions, is based on the belief that if society has it right, we do everything we can do when a child comes into this world, there should be an expectation that every child can succeed and there will be no exceptions. The current situation, though, is that some kids do very well in life, some kids struggle, and some kids actually make some horrible choices. And so we can't go to the past to predict our future. That becomes problematic. And that's basically what we found is happening in today's world. Because we haven't seen all kids succeed without exceptions, we begin to create a self-fulfilling prophecy where we will not believe that all kids are capable of success, no exceptions. It doesn't mean that kids may create difficulties for themselves and others along the way, but that always becomes part of the past. It's not part of the future.
When it comes to something that may not shake your belief system, but may force some extra thought when it comes down to it, how do you reconcile that from your own point of view and then make it clear that if there is someone who potentially isn't capable of being successful at the core, that doesn't cast some sort of dark umbrella over anyone else? It shouldn't lead us to cast aspersions on someone else who may be struggling with something to get through it and then have a better future at some point.
I think that's exactly correct. I think we can't abdicate our core belief systems and back off of something we want to create in the future that didn't exist in the past and may not exist in the present. So we have to hold on to this strong vision that if we do what we're supposed to do as a community, as a society, and the institutions that represent the community and the society, if we do what we are supposed to do, then we're more capable of helping every child. Sometimes the community doesn't do what it's supposed to do, and some of these young people begin to fall through the safety net. They're not born into the right families, for example, that are nurturing in their regard. They fall through that family safety net, and they're usually first institution they're introduced to is school. Their behavior may overwhelm the school, and the school doesn't have the resources, so they fall through the school safety net. Then they're referred to community agencies or institutions. Could be child welfare, could be behavioral health, could be the juvenile justice system. Sometimes they may be ill-prepared to work with some of these difficulties, and the kid falls through that safety net, ultimately ending up making bad choices and committing certain crimes that are beyond our imagination. And then we're faced with the expectation is, well, is this representative of what we are as a society, that we're creating young murderers? And then we have to go back and reflect on these young people and say, okay, what did we learn from this incident? And can we be better so when the next generation of children are born into our world, that we've learned from this particular situation and others like that?
Does it make sense to you that juveniles would be charged as adults? What is the thought behind that when juveniles are charged as adults?
So there's a difference between how society will respond to this type of crime and how science would interpret this type of crime. What we understand from research is that committing children or referring children, transferring them to the adult criminal justice system because of the severity of the crime doesn't actually deter any further types of criminal behavior amongst youngsters. As a matter of fact, the science is very clear that the recidivism rate is higher amongst children who have been referred to the adult criminal justice system than if they were treated in the juvenile justice system. So if we're trying to argue this point based on facts, the facts hold against the expectation that this would be a deterrent. As a matter of fact, it becomes problematic in that regard. However, the flip side of that is that society wants its day in court as well. It wants to say that these types of actions are not tolerated and they will be met with the severest of consequences. Whether those consequences deter further crime isn't even of argument any longer. It's just that society wants its day in court. And that's why I think we see juveniles that commit severe crimes transferred to the adult system. But it's not because it works. It's because society expects that type of consequence for that type of behavior.
Rick Miller is the founder of Kids at Hope.